As a Protestant denomination, we don't believe that the wine and the bread become the actual body and blood of Jesus. We believe that they are symbols of the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. They remind us of what he has done. And you'll notice in the Church of the Nazarene, and there's probably some other denominations as well, that we don't even use wine. We use grape juice so that no one has to be eliminated from taking communion with us. And in the old days, we called that grape juice the pure, unfermented juice of the vine. It sounded a lot better than just grape juice, right? I heard a true story about a pastor that was part of a denomination that believed these things. And he was married. He had a young son. And one day, the pastor responded to a Red Cross appeal for donating blood. And when he didn't come home at the time that his young son expected him to be home, the little boy asked his mom, is daddy going around visiting all the sick people today? And the mother said, he's giving blood. And the little boy thought for a moment, and he said, but we all know it's really grape juice, right, mommy? growing up in a Italian Catholic home, we had no problem with wine at the table and having wine with our meals. Although in my immediate family, we never had wine in the house. But on most Sundays, we would travel out to Brooklyn to Grandma's house. And Grandpa would sit at the head of the table. He was kind of the focus. And although I've never seen my grandfather drunk, he always had a glass of wine with his meal. And it seemed like we would come out to Brooklyn, and we'd sit at that table, and we didn't move from that table until it was time to go back home. The kids might take a little break and go out and play a little bit, you know, but basically the adults would stay at that table. And it wasn't just my family, but my aunts and uncles, you know, that we'd all go. Grandma kind of demanded that and expected that we'd all be at her house on Sundays for a Sunday meal. And my grandmother would be preparing all week and all day. Early in the morning, you'd smell that sauce cooking, you know. Woo. And my grandfather, as they said, would have the wine, you know, with his meal. And it was usually homemade wine from a relative or a friend that gave it to him. And my favorite was my grandmother's Managotta. Now, let me give you a little lesson in Italian. It's not Manicotti. Made with ragatta and mozzarella. No, it's Managotta, topped with mozzarella. And if you ever tasted my grandmother's, you would never want anyone else's. She made the best. But I have to say that it really, as great as the food was, incredible as the food was, they definitely should have put my grandmother in business making in a restaurant, but as great as that food was, it was really about our time around the table, that time around the family table as we sat there and just enjoyed each other's company. There was laughter around that table. There was tears around that table. There was reminiscing around that table. There was advice given at that table. There was discussion. There was debate. There was giving. There was receiving. There was community. It was just a great time around that table. And that's what I remember most, was just being around that table. There was certainly food for the stomach, but there was also food for the soul. And we all left full and satisfied on both accounts when it came to that. There is nothing like getting together with family or with anyone around a table and having a meal together around a table. And that's what we celebrated here today. We all came around the Lord's table. And it's the most famous meal in history. The meal of the Lord's Supper for the family of Christ around his table. And here at this table, we put aside differences and worldly concerns, and we focus on Christ as the head of the family. And today, I just want to look at a scripture that describes, it's the earliest description we have of this family meal and of this family table. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's verses 23 to 26. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It should be up on the screen as well. So if you want to follow there, you can. Here's this description of this family meal. Paul is speaking. He says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and he said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you drink this bread, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" So I just want to point out a few things about this Lord's meal, about this Lord's table, and about his family. First of all, this table is a table of remembrance. When we would get around that table with my family, we would reminisce about the past. And we would hear stories that we've heard many times before. But most times, we wanted to hear them again. Most times. We wanted to hear them again. We even said, "Tell us a story about," even though we heard it so many times. And whether they realized it or not, not only were they reminiscing at that time, but they were building memories for us. At the meal that Jesus shares with his followers, he says this, "This is my body which is given for you." He says, "Do this to remember me." This cup, the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. He said, "Do this to remember me as often as you drink it." This is a table of remembrance, and remembering is important. Some years ago, the Los Angeles Daily News carried an editorial about a man. His name was Brian Rooney. I don't know if you ever heard of Brian Rooney. Rooney was a science teacher, but he spent thousands of dollars of his own money and hundreds of hours of his own time memorializing those who have died in our nation's battlefields. He compiled a massive database of memorials that are located all around the United States of America. Back in 2003, at that point, he had cataloged 8,600 memorials in 50 different states. And perhaps by now he has finished his mission of recording a memorial from every war in every state where they are located. Rooney's mission began in Vietnam, during the Vietnam War, with a promise that he made to a dying soldier. He was a young army medic, Rooney was, and he was leaning over a mortal soldier trying to read his dog tag. And as he was leaning over him, the soldier whispered two simple words, "Remember me." And Rooney promised that soldier that he would do that very thing, that he would remember him. And it became an obsession for Rooney as he spent so much time going into records of each state, seeing where there was memorials for different men and women who had died in wars, and making sure that those memorials were being kept up and it was remembered that they were there. And he said one time it was like, for him, it was a kind of a way of resurrecting all those people. Well, at communion tables all over the world, that you will find an inscription in many different languages, a simple phrase that says, "In remembrance of me." You can see it on our own altar table as well. In remembrance of me. And that is what the Lord's Supper is all about. Do this, he said, Jesus says, in remembrance of me. Remembering is important. We need to remember those who gave their lives on our behalf. We need to remember those who have loved us. We need to remember those who have loved us and made us feel so important, made us who we are. And of course, this is all tied up with remembering Christ, who died for us. And the reason that he died for us is that he loved us more than anyone, even a family member, could love us. He could love us more perfectly than anyone else. And we dare not forget the sacrifice that he made and the love that he shows at this table of remembrance. And so it's a table of remembrance. But it's also a table of reconciliation. When my family would sit around that table, sometimes differences would come up. But we'd talk those through and we'd work those problems out. We'd talk about them and maybe cry together, or maybe there'd be apologies, or, you know, we'd work things out at that table. Well, at least in my father's family. My mother's family, not so much. But my father's family, we tried to work things out, and it usually was around the table. In the text, Jesus mentions a covenant between God and his people. He's talking about reconciliation. At this table where we come, it's for those who have been reconciled to God and have been reconciled to one another. Max Lucado is a famous author. Many of you have heard of him. He has a book called Outlive Your Life. And in that book, he tells about a friend that he has whose name was Buckner Fanning. And Buckner was a Marine during World War II. And he was stationed in Nagasaki about 3 weeks after the atomic bomb had been dropped there. It was a scene of total devastation. And in that scene of horror, this young Marine found an oasis of grace. And he tells the story, Max tells the story, that while his friend Buckner was patrolling those narrow streets, he came across a sign that had an English phrase on it, and it was Methodist Church. And Buckner kind of remembered that location, and he was determined that the next Sunday he was going to come to that location. And when he did, he entered a partially collapsed structure. Windows were shattered. Walls were buckled. But the young Marine stepped into this rubble, unsure how he'd be received. There was about 15 or so Japanese, he says, who were setting up chairs, and they were removing debris. And when this uniformed American soldier entered into their midst, they stopped and turned and looked at him. And he heard from them the only word he knew in Japanese. And he heard it from them. It was the word brother. They welcomed him as a friend. And Buckner relates, and he says, the power of that moment still resonates more than 60 years after the event. They offered me a seat. And he said, I opened my Bible and I couldn't understand the sermon, but I sat there and I observed. And then he said, it was time for communion. He said that during communion, the worshipers brought him the elements. And in that quiet moment, the enmity of our nations and the hurt of the war was set aside as one Christian served another, the body and blood of Christ. And then he says, and another wall came a tumbling down. There's something about sharing a meal together. It brings people together. It cuts across the divides that normally would separate us. We are reconciled to God through the sacrifice of Christ. And the Lord's Supper symbolizes that reconciliation. So not only is it a table of remembering, it's also a table of reconciling. And finally, it's a table of receiving. Jesus says, "This is my body given for you." A cup for you. And when you take it, drink it. It's a receiving. When you take it, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again. At this table, you are invited to receive Christ in the breaking of the bread and in the taking of the cup. A few years ago, there was a woman by the name of Sarah Miles, and she walked into a church, and she said that she has never been the same since. She talks about that day in a book that she wrote called Take This Bread. And here's what she says. "One early cloudy morning when I was 46, I walked into a church, ate a piece of bread, and took a sip of wine. A routine Sunday activity for tens of millions of Americans. Except that up to that moment, I led a thoroughly secular life. At best, indifferent to religion, more often appalled by its fundamentalist crusades. This was my first communion. It changed everything. The mysterious sacrament turned out to be not a symbolic wafer at all, but actual food, indeed the bread of life. I took communion, I passed the bread to others, and then I kept going." And kept going she did. Someone else tells a story that she kept going to that church every Sunday. It was St. Gregory's in San Francisco. And she, at that very church, would distribute groceries to the hungry people. On Sunday, people gathered around the altar to pass bread and wine and share the cup. And during the week, Sarah and her friends passed out food from that very same altar where she had first taken communion. And within a few years, it said that she and her friends, the others that would work with her, started other food pantries, dozens of food pantries in the poorest parts of that city. And that's what happens to people as they take communion, as they receive Christ. They then want to give that away to others. And so at this table of remembering, this table of reconciliation, this table of receiving, "This is my body, which is given for you. This is a cup of a new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed by my blood." Here we meet Jesus. Here we see Jesus. Remember what He has done for us. I'll close with one more story. There was a pastor who was visiting, and he went to someone's home, and on their wall there was kind of an old-fashioned picture, one of those oval pictures, and it had an old-fashioned lady in the picture. And the host that he was visiting pointed to the picture and he said, "That's my mother. I never saw her. She died at childbirth when I was born. And so I never saw the face of my mother. But someday, when I go to heaven," he said, "after I've seen my Savior, I want to see my mom's face, first of all." And the pastor wrote about this, and he said, "You know, I could have said, that's your mother. That's your mother. It's just a picture on a wall. That's just cardboard with some ink on it." But he says, "Of course I didn't say that," because he said, "I understood what this man meant. What he meant was that that picture represents my angel mother. I never saw her, but someday in heaven, I will see her face to face, and I will love her aboundingly for giving her life for me." That is exactly so with our own Lord Jesus. This is His body. This is His blood. And it pictures our lovely Lord until that precious and beautiful day when in heaven we will see Him face to face and thank Him for giving His life for us. Remembering, reconciling, receiving. We come to this table as the family of Christ. And it should be a spiritual high point of the month for us. And we're praying that it'll be a spiritual high point in the lives of these children today and forever. As we remember Jesus' selfless love for us and for all people. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again. So what should we do? I believe that daily we should take time to remember and to reflect on Jesus and what He has done for us, the love that He has for us, the sacrifice that He has made for us. I believe that daily we should be reconciling to God and to others, and that daily we should receive from God and then minister to others what we have received from Him through Christ. In your bulletin, there is an insert. On one side was a place to take notes. On the other side is a little exercise you could do this week. Just look that over. If it's something that you would like to do, just a way of you to just kind of connect with God sometime during this week. So you could read that, write down some thoughts, and then there's a prayer for you as well. Let's pray together. You could just bow your heads for a moment and just take a moment of silence. Just you and God. Let Him speak to you. You take some time speaking to Him. Maybe as we're doing that, we could dismiss the children so they could go downstairs and they're going to take some pictures. Someone needs to go downstairs with the children. You're going to take the children down? We'll take the children downstairs. They're going to take some pictures down there. I'm just going to pray with you in a moment. And then we'll let you go down there and join them. If you would please stand with me. I just want to pray a blessing upon you before you leave. Almighty God, we thank You for this time together today. It's been a good time together today, Lord. A blessed time together today. Help us, Lord, to remember. To remember You. And what You have done for us, that You loved us so much, that You gave Your life so that we can have eternal life, that we can know God now and forever. Thank You, Lord, that because of Your sacrifice, we can be reconciled to God, we can be reconciled to each other. You can forgive our sins. We can forgive others by the power that You give to us. We thank You, Lord, that here today we have received from You. And I pray, God, that we in turn would just give away from ourselves to others. We pray, Lord, that You would bless this coming week. That, Lord, we would take time out of our busy day to just pause, even if it's just for a few moments, to recognize Your presence always with us, to thank You, to give ourselves to You more fully, to ask You what You want us to do, what You want to do through us. So, Lord, I pray just a special blessing upon each and every person that's here today, each family that they represent. I pray, God, that You would fill them with Your supernatural power and love and grace. You just bless them today and in this week ahead. We love You, Lord. And Jesus, we pray this and all things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless you. Have a great week. Thanks for being here. Please go downstairs and have some refreshments. Have a good week.